Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Movement Radio. I am Chip Hazard.
And I am Talon Williams, and this sweet-ass background, I love it. Anyway, so tonight, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Chip. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, this is Are You Ready for Some Football Week 15. Before we get into the week that will be, let's get into the week that was, Chip. How'd you feel overall about week 14 as we approach? I think both of us, did not have a good week.
Well, it was another one of those crazy, what the hell is going on weeks. I mean, you have one of the worst teams in the league beating a playoff contender.
Yep.
Well, that happened a couple of times. We'll get into it, but just, the Patriots beat the Steelers. It's like, what?
Yeah.
That happened?
Mm-hmm.
The Bears beat the Lions, and you're like, huh?
Yeah.
You know,
the fucking Titans beat the Dolphins.
The Jets beat the Texans. The Titans beat the Dolphins. And it's like, the Giants beat the Packers?
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
that was a sweet last. Because they did the picture in picture for Monday Night Football where they showed the end of the Green Bay New York game, and they kicked that field goal with 2 seconds left, and I'm like, okay, that was pretty cool. And you see Tommy DeVito on the sidelines jumping up and down. I mean, this dude's probably the Cinderella story of the NFL right now, because he literally came out of nowhere and he's playing some really good. I think he's playing better than Daniel Jones at this point.
He's playing better than Jones.
Then again, that's not really a hard feat, to be honest with you. Daniel Jones did not live up to expectations this year by far. Let's jump right into it, man. I guess we'll kick it off with, and by the way, I don't know if I said it jokingly last week, but I said that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Atlanta Falcons game could be a low key banger. And that was one of the games that I watched on CBS Sunday afternoon, and it was a really, really good game, down to the wire. But I guess we'll kick it off with the Baltimore Ravens this week, winning in overtime against the Los Angeles Rams, 37-31 in that last second, punt return, run back for a touchdown, really good close game there toward the end. How did you feel about Baltimore's victory over LA?
I mean, it was what I thought it was going to be. I just didn't expect it to be as close as it was,
Yeah. I was expecting it to be – close. I wasn't expecting it to get to the point where it would go into overtime. Lamar did his thing, 316 for three touchdowns, did have an interception, and Matthew Stafford – kind of looking like the old Matthew Stafford from old, man. 294 yards and three touchdowns on the day. Kyren Williams, running back, 25 carries and 114 yards on the day. Cooper Kupp doing Cooper Kupp things, 8 of 115 for in a touchdown. And even on the Baltimore side, OBJ finally, had a decent game. Four receptions, 97 yards, but a touchdown. Zay Flowers came through in the clutch. For me, I look at this game as like, I think this game kind of, in a way, kind of solidified Baltimore right now as being the team to beat in the AFC at this point. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
I would say fair assessment, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because they definitely have a lot going for them right now in the city of Baltimore. Then fans can definitely have something to cheer for at this point. But from there, we're going to move on. If I can just go back to week 14 here we go. We're going to move on to a game that, you probably don't want to talk about, Bubba, what we got to the New York Jets against the Houston Texans. The Jets end up beating the Texans. God, man, 30-6 in a game that CJ Stroud did have to leave. He went into concussion protocol. Am I correct?
We were already without Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz, which are CJ's top two targets.
Right.
Nico Collins goes down in the first drive. So now we're without our three best targets.
Right.
It's pissing rain.
Yeah.
Will Anderson goes down, CJ Stroud goes down, like a plethora of injuries happen. I'm not going to say that it's 100% because of the turf, but
yeah, turf sucks. And MetLife Stadium, that turf sucks.
It's
so weird to me that the I think that's why the Giants and the Jets have been playing so horribly, is because their home games, they can't really do good because every team struggles in MetLife Stadium, including the home team.
Right. I mean, the Jets didn't struggle. They struggled the first half of this game. And then the second half, it was just like they came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson had the best game of his career, over 300 yards passing. You know, our defense could not do anything. They were just doing dink, little dink, you know, routes here and there. Nothing deep down the field. It looked like Zach Wilson was trying to give the game away.
Yep.
He had that basically goal line fumble that turned into points for the Texans. Then fucking Matt Amendola, why he's on anybody's team ever, misses the go ahead extra point. Mm-hmm. Thank God Kyme Fairbairn is back. He's off IR. He's been practicing all week. He will play this weekend. So thank God.
Thank God for that. Yes.
I mean, I never want to be, you know, overly negative and crucial towards players, but Matt Amendola is not a good kicker.
No. He was that kicker. He played for the Cardinals last year, I want to say, and he missed the last second field goal. And I can't remember who it was. I can't remember if it was a lineman or a linebacker, but Amendola was actually, they were talking to him about it after the game, about the missed kick and stuff. And the guy came in, he was like, "Hey, it's a team sport. It ain't his fucking fault. Kick your butt." I'm like, no, at that point in the game, yeah, football is a team sport. But when it comes down to that last second, you have to make this in order for us as a team to win the game. It's on you at that point, because you have to either make it or you don't make it. If you make it, you're celebrated. But if you don't make it, Bubba, the blame's got to go somewhere. You know,
there's a reason he's been on seven teams in 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, he was with the Panthers, the Jets, the Texans, the Chiefs, the Cardinals, the Packers, then the Texans brought him back for whatever reason. But he's only made 24 out of 35.
Seven teams in past 2 years. That's not not really good.
No.
But moving on from there, the Denver Broncos and the L.A. Chargers, Broncos pulled away with a victory 24-7 in this game, in a game that really, it's like L.A. didn't really try, but Justin Herbert did get hurt in this game. He's going to be out for the rest of the year. But the Broncos did, you know, they did have some good, you know, fortune in this game. You know, Russell Wilson threw for 2 touchdowns, over 200 yards rushing, or 200 yards passing. Justin, like I said before, Justin Herbert went out with an injury, and Easton Stick was his replacement. I don't even know who that is. Easton Stick, that sounds like a, I don't know, it doesn't sound right. But what'd you think of Broncos over Chargers?
I thought the Broncos were going to win. I thought this game was going to be a little closer than what it was.
Right.
However, with Herbert going down with that finger injury, then having to have surgery and subsequently being out the rest of the year, it makes sense why the Broncos dominated as much as they did.
Absolutely, absolutely. The Broncos could be one of those surprise teams that could sneak into the wild card. You know, I think their record right now is at 7-6, and there's a lot of teams that are 7-6 right now.
Oh God, yes.
You know, when we get into the playoff picture here in just a little bit, I'll fill you guys in on that one. But yeah, the Broncos, you know, they came in, you know, into LA, into SoFi Stadium, and handled their business. So, you know, good on them. But let's move on to sorry, Chad. Let's move on to the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. Dallas Cowboys in Jerry World beat the Eagles 33-13 in a game where Dak Prescott had a good game, 271 and two touchdowns. He really elevated the team. CeeDee Lamb was looking good. Michael Gallup came out of nowhere and started playing well. Not take anything away from Jalen Hurts, you know, 197 yards in this game. But A.J. Brown had a fumble. Jalen Hurts had a fumble. Devontae Smith had a fumble. Like, just the turnovers were just killing the Philadelphia Eagles in this game.
Yeah.
Now, Dak did have a fumble in this game, so, you know, he's not going to get let off scot-free from that. But, yeah, it was definitely not a good game for Philadelphia. Dallas has firmly put themselves in possibly – I don't know if they're leading the NFC East at this point. But
I think with this win, they became the number one seed in the – well, I think they became the number one seed in the NFC.
No. They're the number two seed. The San Francisco 49ers are the number one seed.
That's
because,
right, yeah.
Because they have victories over both the Eagles and the Cowboys at this point.
Yes.
So the Cowboys are number two, but even at the number two spot, I mean, they're still going to get at least one to two playoff games, you know, definitely a playoff, definitely one playoff game.
Yeah.
Which will be for
right now they're the number one in the East in the NFC. So they'll get a home playoff game.
Yeah.
Depending on who that's against, maybe their only playoff game, but you know. We'll...
Oh, because it is Dallas.
That is right.
As Stephen A. Smith says, some way, somehow, just wait, they will let you down. And to all of our friends out there who are Dallas Cowboys fans, we love you. But no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I'm going to put the Cowboys in that. Because Cowboys got to win a playoff game before I'm even going to even consider them a Super Bowl contender. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry.
Right.
But, yeah, Cowboys had a good game. You know, Philly will bounce back. I think Philly, especially this upcoming week, I think they're going to be – yeah, they got Seattle on Monday Night Football, so they should have a pretty good comeback.
They should.
Yeah, we say should. But, you know.
But what's this, two in a row they've lost?
Two in a row they've lost, yes. Yeah, I believe it is two in a row, yes.
The final game that we're going to talk about from week 14 is that Monday nighter, the Titans coming back in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left to beat the Miami Dolphins.
It was 3 minutes left. That makes it even worse. 3 minutes left. They scored 17 in the fourth quarter alone, bro.
Yes.
I'm sorry. 15 alone in the fourth quarter.
15 unanswered.
We had them.
That's the thing.
We had them. I don't know what happened.
The Dolphins couldn't get going that last 5 minutes. They just could not. Their defense fell apart.
Which I will say this, man, there was a lot of injuries in that game Monday night. There was a lot of people coming out. Tyreek going down with an injury. There were plenty of people on defense, which, I mean, both sides. I mean, both of these teams played their ass off in this game, you know. So, I don't know.
To me,
this game serves two purposes, or it let me know two things. Okay. One, if Miami is going to make a Super Bowl run, their defense has to get better.
Yes.
And two, in terms of Tennessee, I think it's time to let people know Will Levis is that dude. The way he orchestrated the comeback, the way he orchestrated the comeback, the way he pushed the ball down the field. Now, granted, was it against a top five defense? Of course not. Would he be able to do that against a Kansas City, a Baltimore, a Dallas, a Philly? Maybe not. But Miami is a playoff contending team. And even though it's just a small sample size of his comeback, or a small sample size of what he could do in a potential comeback in the NFL, I've seen enough of Will Levis to say, yeah, If I'm placing my bets on who I think the Titans should put their faith in, I'm putting my faith in Will Levis before I put my faith in Ryan Tannehill or Malik Willis at this point. You rebuttal.
I'll give you that. I'm just not ready to crown Will Levis with one game.
Okay.
As the heir apparent. Okay. I do think he's definitely better than Malik Willis. He's on par to be better than Ryan Tannehill. It's just Ryan Tannehill has, as much as I like to shit on that guy, he has definitely proven why he was given that contract. Now, this year, not so much.
Right.
But, you know, Levis has had one good game. I'm just not ready to crown him the king of Tennessee yet.
Right. I wouldn't go that far, king of Tennessee, but I will say he's definitely earned his place as a starter in this lineup. Yes. I will say he's earned his place. Yes. And shout out to D-Hop, man. 7 receptions, 124 yards and a touchdown. You know, I can't be mad at D-Hop for doing D-Hop things, man. He was just that good this past Monday, man. So I can't really be too upset. But before we jump into the power rankings, before we jump into the playoff predictions, I want us to talk about just one more thing. One more thing, and it's been everywhere in the NFL. You've heard it on all the debate shows, the First Things First, the Undisputeds, the First Takes. You hear all about it. We got to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, you knew I was going here. That game-winning pass to Travis Kelce, who then lateraled it back to Kadarius Toney, who ran it into the touchdown. But then they said, wait a minute, Kadarius Toney, his foot was over the line of scrimmage. It's offensive offsides. And they called the playback. And, you know, the Bills ended up winning the game. Okay, cool. Bills won the game. The referees, we bitch all the time. I'm going to say this real quick. We bitch all the time about the referees not getting the calls right. And then we finally see a referee get a call right, and people are bitching about it.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck do you want them to do, you know? Now, I will say this also, because I was watching, Shannon Sharp had said this on First Take. He said, anytime, he's like, yes, should it be called? Absolutely, it should be called. Now, somebody made a thing, like Patrick Mahomes in his press conference was like, you know, the referee should let you know when you're off. No, you have to check with the ref. Am I good? Back it up, you know, and then you back up, you know. That's right. The way that it's always been done. You have to make sure. And my question is, how does Kadarius Toney not know he's over the line? Like, if you have to turn your head to look back to see the ball, brother, you are way off sides. What is your take on it, man?
Right. So we found out who Patrick Mahomes really is in this moment. And this happens a lot of times when things are going good, everybody's happy-go-lucky, and they can, you know, hey, you know, we're winning. I'm going to be the next Tom Brady. The Chiefs are going to cement this dynasty. Hey, all right. Things haven't been going really good for the Chiefs this year. Patty Mahomes isn't playing up to what we expect Patty Mahomes to play up to. Travis Kelce is kind of taking a step back from what we expect Travis Kelce to do. They don't have any weapons other than Travis Kelce.
Well, that was going to be my question. Does the blame fall on Patrick Mahomes, or does it fall on those receivers? Because those receivers lead the league right now with 33 drop passes.
So, what aggravates me the most about this is after the game is over, all right, so the play happens, the refs throw the flag. Clearly, if you look at any video, still picture, whatnot, Kadarius Toney was offsides, 100%. Oh, yes. The refs got that call right. We bitch and moan about missed calls all the time.
Amen.
they got that call 100% right. Now, instead of at the end of the game, Patrick Mahomes dapping up Josh Allen, be like, hey, man, good game, you know, threw a nice pass here or whatever, he immediately starts bitching to Josh Allen. He's like, man, that was the worst fucking call ever, you know, blase.
Reminds me a lot of Tom Brady, actually, when Tom Brady lost to when Tom Brady lost in that, I think it was like week 8, it was like week 16 or week 17 of one of the seasons when the Seahawks beat them and it cost them the number one seed in the playoffs or whatever it was. Or maybe it may have been week 16 or whatever. I can't remember which one it was. And that's when Richard Sherman walked up to him after the game because Tom Brady was walking back to the huddle. He didn't go on the field. And Richard Sherman said, you mad, bro? That was that game. So, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is like Tom Brady, all right. He still has that anger issue that he just can't handle losing, you know?
But then he goes into the press conference mm-hmm. and doubles down
yeah.
On the bitching and moaning and complaining.
Yep.
Day later, he's still bitching and moaning and complaining. Like, it wasn't until Tuesday of this week where he started kind of like reeling it in a little bit and being like, okay, maybe, you know, maybe Tony was offsides. Maybe I'm making a bigger deal out of this than what it should be. But it's right. Like, it almost feels like he was looking for some preferential treatment mm-hmm. and didn't get yep. it. So he's like, nah, like, you know, worst call ever, blah, 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 blah. Now, he did make a point that I want to put out there. From Little League up, the receivers are always taught, when you're on the line, right, and you see every one of them do this, they look over to the line judge. The line judge gives them a thumbs up that says, hey, you're good. You're not offsides. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
So, even Andy Reid said Kadarius Toney on that particular play did not look over to the line judge. He
yeah.
assumed he was in the right spot and he wasn't.
He assumed and it made an ass out of everybody, basically. Because there was no, how do you not know you're offsides, though? You can literally look back. If you have to look back to see where the ball is, Bubba, you are not where you're supposed to be. And I understand it. Maybe I'll say that. And Ryan Clark said this on First Take, and I have a tendency to believe him. I have a tendency to agree with him, rather. Patrick Mahomes is too damn good of a teammate. And what I mean by that is, you know, we always – if something goes wrong with the wide receivers, whether it be Kadarius Toney, whether it be Rashee Rice, not so much Rashee Rice because Rashee Rice has been doing a good job for them. They're the as far as wide receivers go, Rashee Rice, even as a rookie, is probably the best receiver they have. But you have players like Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, Valdez-Scantlin. These guys, again, like what I said before a minute ago, 33 dropped passes, which leads the NFL. And on top of, I can't remember what they said it was. It was like, as far as interceptions go, half of Patrick Mahomes' turnovers are because the ball pops out of the receiver's hand, just like in that opening night game versus Detroit, popped out of was it Valdez-Scantlin or was it Kadarius Toney? I think it was Kadarius Toney. It popped out of Toney's hands right into the arms of a Detroit. DB, and he ran it back for a touchdown. So,
yeah,
you know, so these receivers, I didn't mean to cut you off, I'm sorry, but these receivers, Patrick Mahomes needs to put all these receivers in a room if he hasn't done it already and say, guys, we got to fix this. We got to figure out what do I need to do to help you be a better receiver? What do I need to do to make sure that I'm communicating with you guys in such a way that you can make the play that you need to make the play so I know where to throw you the ball to make the play so that you do I need to throw it a little bit high so you can jump for it? Do I need to lead you along a little bit so you can make the catch on the run? Do I need to throw it on the inside and make sure you can turn and catch with it? Do I need to hit you in the numbers as hard as I can so you know you can catch it? Do you need a special pair of gloves made out of duct tape? What the fuck do you want? You know, that's what I would do if I'm Patrick Mahomes. But he's too good of a teammate. He doesn't want to put the blame on the wide receivers when that's exactly where the fucking blame should go to. Sorry, go ahead.
I will go back to what Chad said several weeks ago.
Go ahead.
Not every quote-unquote interception should go against the quarterback.
I agree with that. Yes.
There you have the passes where the player, you know, he has it, it's in his hands and he bobbles it or whatever, and a corner, a safety, somebody comes along and scoops it and scores. That goes against the quarterback, right? But that wasn't the quarterback's fault.
No. I think they need to introduce a new stat.
That was Butterfinger's fault.
Right. Here's the thing. If a quarterback throws a ball and the corner makes the play on the receiver and intercepts the ball, that's an interception on the quarterback. However, I believe that if it touches the receiver's hands at any point and it bobbles or something happens and it gets intercepted then I should believe it should be counted as a statistic called interceptions allowed. IA,
yes,
or however you want to say it, and put that as a stat against the receiver because he didn't catch it and he fumbled or he bumbled the ball in some aspect, he ended up causing the interception, not the quarterback. The quarterback did his job by getting it to the receiver. It's the right. The receiver didn't catch the ball, therefore it puts it out of the quarterback's hands at that point, because once the receiver touches the ball, it's completely in his control. So, you know, I understand. Maybe we need to make a new statistic. That's what we need, a new statistic. But then you got to bring in the analytics. You got to bring in the algorithm and all this extra bullshit that they're going to try to make it Pro Football Focus and all that bullshit. You know, but so it's going to happen. But at the end of the day, I don't really think Kansas City has too much to worry about. They're still a good football team. They still have Patrick Mahomes. They still got Travis Kelce. Andy Reid's still the best, one of if not the best coach in the NFL right now. They're going to be a playoff team regardless of whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It doesn't matter. They're going to be a playoff team. So really, they don't have anything to bitch about. I mean, I highly doubt that they're going to look back at this season and look at that one call that the referee gave them. And if they don't win the Super Bowl, I highly doubt they're going to blame that one incident. You know what I mean? I doubt. And if they do, it's like, damn, you living in the past, motherfucker? That was week 14. What are you doing? You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know. But anyway, now that that is done and said, I got a trivia question for you this week. I was going through a couple things. I actually heard this question on TikTok, that easy thing. Chip, can you name me the 12 NFL teams who have red in their logo? I have all 12 of them written down. Yeah, so 12 NFL teams with red in their logo.
Cardinals, okay, Texans.
Cardinals, Texans, you got two.
Titans.
That's a tricky one, huh? Titans, yes.
Tampa Bay.
49ers. Remember, think about the logos, not necessarily the jerseys, but the logos.
The Ravens,
yes. That was the one I didn't think you'd get. I didn't think you'd get that one.
The Steelers.
Steelers, yes. You have five more left.
The Patriots.
Patriots, yes.
Oh, God. Who else? Da, 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 da.
Do you want a hint?
Did I say the Giants?
Not yet.
Okay, Giants.
Okay, Giants.
How many more do I have?
You have three left. One we just recently talked about. Actually, the two teams we just recently talked about.
Did I say 49ers?
You said 49ers already.
The Bills.
The Bills.
Did I say the Bills?
Not yet, but you did.
Okay, and I got one more, right?
You got two more.
Two more.
Yeah. We just talked about the Falcons.
Falcons.
We literally just talked about it. You said the Bills.
I already said the Chiefs. I already said the Chiefs, didn't I?
If you said the Chiefs, I missed it. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. Okay. It was the 49ers, the Cardinals, the Bucks, the Falcons, the Giants, the Chiefs, the Texans, the Patriots, the Bills, the Steelers, the Titans, and the Ravens. The Ravens was the one I didn't think you would get.
Because it's just an outline.
Yeah. Oh, no. The red in the Ravens is the eye. The eye of the Raven is red.
Okay.
So, yeah. No, the outline of it's gold. But, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. For some reason, I was seeing you tried to screw me with the colors. For some reason, I thought that the outline of the Raven was red, not gold. So
by the luck of fools, you ended up picking the one that I didn't think you would pick. But yeah, yes. It was great. Awesome. All right. That being said, let's move on to. Do you want to do the power rank? Let's do the power rankings first.
Yeah, let's do the power rankings first.
All right. So, as always, we start off. Carolina Panthers are now back at the number 32 spot, which I don't really think they left, but whatever. I'm going to slide up through here real quick to find all of our teams. And here we go. Okay. So, at number 12 this week, dropping three spots down, are the Houston Texans. At number 11 this week, jumping up five spots, are the Denver Broncos. And now the top 10. At number 10, bumping up two spots, the Buffalo Bills. At number 9, dropping one spot, are the Jacksonville Jaguars. At number 8, bumping up two spots, are the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
At number 7, staying at 7, is the Detroit Lions. At number 6, staying at 6, are the Kansas City Chiefs. At number 5, staying at 5, the Miami Dolphins, which I found weird. Kansas City and Miami didn't move at all, even though they both took losses this week. Philadelphia, though, taking the loss to the Cowboys, have bumped down one spot to number 4. The Cowboys bump up one spot to 3, so they did a little switcheroo there. Okay. Number 2 are the Baltimore Ravens, and number 1, of course, are the San Francisco 49ers.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I like the 49ers at 1. I like the Ravens at 2. I'd take the Cowboys at 3 right there. Eagles at 4s. I would say the Eagles at 4. Dolphins at 5. Kansas City 6. Lions 7.
I'm not mad with the top 10.
I'm not mad with it either. Buffalo definitely jumping back into the hunt, though, definitely. But we are going to go ahead and transition into, let me go to standings playoff picture here. And for those of you who are wanting to know, yes, I know the Dolphins lost. It's fine. But as of now, in the AFC, the 7 playoff berths are still available as of this point in the season. Yes. The Baltimore Ravens are the number 1 seed, followed by the Miami Dolphins, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The 3 wildcard teams currently are the Cleveland Browns, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Indianapolis Colts, with the Houston Texans, Denver Broncos, Cincinnati Bengals, and Buffalo Bills right behind them, all 7-6 on the bubble for making the playoffs. And as of this week, the New England Patriots are now eliminated from postseason contention, mathematically eliminated, that is, from postseason contention. And moving over to the NFC, the number 1 seed actually, or the a playoff berth, I'm sorry, has been clinched already by the San Francisco 49ers, going 10-3 with 4 more games left to go in the season. But San Francisco did clinch a playoff berth already. Still in the hunt for the playoff seedings. You got the number two is the Dallas Cowboys, the Detroit Lions at three, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at four, followed by the Eagles, Vikings, and Packers in the wild card. And the four teams on the bubble are the LA Rams, the Seattle Seahawks, the Atlanta Falcons, and the New Orleans Saints, with the Carolina Panthers also, like what I said a couple weeks ago, being eliminated mathematically from postseason contention. And that's the way that looks there. Moving on to what it looks like.
And so what you're telling me is the NFC South could put three teams into the playoffs.
The NFC South?
Yes.
Not the NFC South. Let me go back to it because I've already fucked up. Hold on. Let me go back to it. Here we go. Playoff picture. Possibility of here. Let me go through.
So the Bucks are leading the division right now, correct?
At 6-7, yes.
Right. The Falcons are.
The Falcons and the Saints are both 6-7 as well. So
all three teams are 6-7.
Yes, all three teams are 6-7. However, that just means that they're all fighting to get the NFC South title, but right. all of them but, making the playoffs, that's the stretch.
Hold on. If all three of them win out, they have the same record. Two of those teams could get wild card berths.
They could, but I think it also depends on if the Eagles, Vikings, Packers, Rams, and Seahawks also, because here, just like with the AFC, the NFC is also 6-7, the Bucks 6-7. Yes. The damn Packers are 6-7. The Rams are 6-7. The Seahawks are 6-7. The Falcons, the Saints. Hell, I'm not even so – man, with all these teams, man, like it's to a point now to where like that – like right now the Arizona Cardinals are 3-10. And they, even at this point, they have not been eliminated. Only the Panthers and the Patriots have been eliminated, which warms the cockles of my heart. But anyway, so I'm sorry. It does. You don't understand how long I've waited to see the Patriots fall from grace. It's been amazing to me. But moving on into our tankathon draft order, not really much has changed, but a little bit has changed. Chicago with the number one pick still because of the Carolina Panthers completely sucking. So in order, it goes Chicago, New England, Arizona, Washington, Chicago again, and Vegas, the Jets, the Giants, the Titans, and the Chargers. That is your top 10 in the draft. Yeah. If we're going by the mock draft, they still have Caleb Williams going number one overall in the draft to the Chicago Bears. If Caleb Williams is going to come out for the draft, Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina, could be possibly going to the New England Patriots. Marvin Harrison Jr., who I personally think should be the number one pick in the draft. That's just my opinion.
Those other two teams need quarterbacks right now. So,
definitely. But Marvin Harrison Jr. going to Arizona could be a good thing for Kyler Murray, provided he stays in Arizona. But that's for a different discussion.
Maybe not the Bears. Maybe they don't need a quarterback. I think the Bears are fine with Justin Fields if they would give him an O-line.
Yeah. Olu Fashanu, I think that's how it's pronounced, offensive tackle out of Penn State, he could possibly fit that bill. I don't remember how long it's been since an offensive tackle got selected number one overall. It's been a minute. They got him going to Washington. But then the Chicago Bears also are slated at 5 to pick up Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU. So yes, that could also be a thing. They got the Raiders picking up Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU. Joe Ott, offensive tackle to the Jets. And C.J. Latham from Alabama, offensive tackle going to the Giants.
Okay, so here's my question. Since Jaden Daniels just won the Heisman, does that up his draft stock? And does that make him so Caleb Williams is consensually the number one overall pick. He's the number one quarterback in the draft as of right now.
Did they already give Jaden Daniels the Heisman for this year?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
As far as I know.
Let me look it up real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to see, because I didn't know that they didn't announce the Heisman. Yeah, okay. Including a Heisman Trophy throwing for over. Okay, cool. I didn't think they did the Heisman Trophy until like right before the championship games. I didn't know they did it this soon after the thing.
So, okay. So with him winning the Heisman and having more passing yards, more touchdowns, and less interceptions than the aforementioned Caleb Williams,
Drake May, yeah.
And Drake May. Does this consensually make him the best, and I'm going to say in air quotes, quarterback, Heisman winner, 3,812 passing yards, 40 touchdowns to 4 interceptions with a passer rating of 208?
I would say that, well, look at it from this perspective. Johnny Manziel also won a Heisman Trophy.
Johnny Manziel didn't pan out.
But what
draft pick was he? What draft pick was Johnny Manziel?
He was a first rounder. He was a first round draft pick. He wasn't number one. He wasn't the number one pick. He was late in the first round, I think. No, he was in the middle of the first. Nevertheless, yeah, because I feel like Johnny Manziel. See, here's the thing about Johnny Manziel is that he didn't take it as seriously. Like, I feel like if Jaden Daniels was given the opportunity, he would take it more seriously. Here's the thing.
Johnny Manziel was the 22nd pick.
22nd pick. There you go.
In round one. Before him?
The quarterbacks that went before Johnny Manziel?
Well, no, I'm just looking at. Okay.
what year was that draft?
That was 14. Here are just a few people that went above Manziel.
Okay.
Jadeveon Clowney.
That was number one. Yeah.
Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
Khalil Mack.
Oh.
Jake Matthews. Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Anthony Barr. Eric Ebron. Taylor Lewan. OBJ. Aaron Donald. Kyle Fuller. Ryan Shazier, Zach Martin, C.J. Mosley, Haha Clinton Dix, Brandon Cooks, Juwan James.
I still laugh at that name. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And the only quarterback to go above Johnny Manziel was Blake Bortles.
Yeah, that was the Jackson. I think Blake Bortles was one of the better quarterbacks. He was from out of UCF, and you know, he didn't play for a power conference, so they didn't really take him seriously as a Heisman contender, you know. Right. I do think Jaden Daniels, in all fairness though, I think they look more at your pro day and your combine numbers before going. Obviously they're going to look at tape. But the combine numbers and what you do at your pro days and things of that nature, that's what the scouts look at more than strangely enough, the awards really don't mean anything to the scouts, because it's like, okay, that's what you did in college. What can we see you do here? And that's when the combine numbers and the analytics and all that extra bullshit comes into play. Right. Do I think Jaden Daniels will be good in the NFL? It depends on where he goes.
So if you look at it, throughout his college career, Jaden Daniels, he has 12,750 passing yards.
That's good.
89 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. That's over 5 years.
Oh. He played because he took over for Joe Burrow, didn't he?
Yep. He played 2019. He played 12 games in 2019. He only played 4 games in 2020. He played 13 games in 21, 14 games in 22, and 12 games in 23. His lowest year was obviously the year in 2020 when he played 4 games, and he had almost 1,000 yards that year.
Right.
5 touchdowns, 1 interception. His worst year touchdown to interception ratio wise was 2021, and he was dead even, 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
Okay.
So obviously this has been his best year, 3,812 yards, 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He was averaging 11.7 yards per attempt and 13.6 air yards per attempt.
Oh, wow.
So air yards is a newer kind of stat. But also this year he had 1,134 rushing yards. He was averaging 8.4 yards per rush with 10 rushing touchdowns. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. Just to round up some of the, I guess some of the most notable ones that's left over, Brock Bowers, everyone's saying that he's going to be going to the Tennessee Titans, tight end out of Georgia. And Jazan Newman, defensive lineman out of Illinois, could be going to the LA Chargers. The Texans currently are slated to pick up Braylon Trice, edge rusher out of Washington. And the Dolphins are selected to pick up Troy Fatanu, offensive tackle out of Washington. So both of our teams are getting Washington players at this point. So we'll see what happens in the draft. There's a whole lot of, you know, mixing and shaking going on. And not to mention the fact that we still have to go through the college football playoff and what's going to happen there and everything that's going on there and that situation. Of course, this is the last year they're going to have the 14 playoff. It extends to 12 next year. So we'll see what happens there. And I'm sure they're going to find another reason to not put a team in, but that's for a different discussion.
Right.
But moving on, Bubba, let's go ahead and let's get these picks out the way. Week 15, let's see what we got. What you got first, Bubba?
So first up, week 15, we've got the LA Chargers and the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, the Raiders are a 3-point favorite with the over-under being at 34.5.
How? How?
I don't know.
How?
With the injury to Justin Herbert, I do believe that the Raiders are going to win this game.
Man, oh my God. Here's the thing. When the hockey team scores more points than the football team on the same day, that's a problem. Okay. I'm just saying, when the Knights scored, I can't even remember what the final score of that game was, but they in the middle of the second period, it was 1-1 against, God, I don't remember who they were playing, but they scored more points than the Raiders did against the Vikings. Look, man, both teams are mid. That game, 3-0. That was that game, 3-0. Because I remember back when Pittsburgh beat Miami 3-0 on, they called it the Soggy Bowl because it was a Monday night football game and it was pouring down raining. It was pouring down rain to the point Chris Bosworth, the punter for the Pittsburgh Steelers, punted the ball. It went so high up in the air when it came back down, it just stuck in the mud. That's how disgusting the game was. It was basically called the Mud Bowl, basically.
So this is also why I have started a petition and I'm advocating for every NFL team to rebuild their stadiums with domes. Every NFL game should be played indoors, period.
I like it, but then at the same time, them snow games are always fun to watch. Maybe not fun to be there, but definitely fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, especially that's the thing. Minnesota has always been in a dome, you know, and that's the one place. I guess that's the reason why they put it, but then you think about the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field and all that. Anyway, back to Chargers and Raiders. Yeah, the Chargers being without Justin Herbert's going to be very, very bad for them. I gotta go Raiders on this one. Like, I just can't see the Chargers really doing anything without Justin Herbert. Their defense is okay, and the Raiders still got good players. But yeah, I'm going Raiders on this one.
All right, that's going to be Raiders across the board here.
Raiders across the board.
Yep. Next up, we got the Vikings versus the Bengals. Now the Bengals are a 3-point favorite with the over/under being at 40.5.
Yeah. On a Saturday, by the way.
Yes. We have three Saturday games this week. So we got the Thursday Nighter, which is Chargers Raiders. The Vikings Bengals is the start of the Saturday games. So Jake Browning is playing lights out. And,
he is.
I just think, you know, I mean, the Vikings did just beat the aforementioned Raiders 3-0, but
a win's a win. I mean, yeah. I'm a firm believer in the Dominic Toretto. It doesn't matter whether you win by an inch or a mile, winning is winning, but that's if you against a buster. You looking at the Bengals right now and how they're playing, man. No, man, I can't do it. I can't do that to myself.
I mean, you got to look the last two games that the Bengals have been without Joe Burrow, both games they've scored 34 points. They beat Jacksonville 34-31. They beat Indianapolis 34-14.
Yep.
So,
with
that being said, I'm going with the Bengals to win this one.
I'm also going with the Bengals to win that one as well. Yes.
All right. That's Bengals across the board.
Yep.
Ooh. Next up, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are only a 1.5-point favorite at home.
That's strange, yeah.
With the over-under being at 42.5. Now, the Steelers have lost their last two. They lost to the Arizona Cardinals and the New England Patriots, two of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Colts were on a 4-game win streak before they ran into the Jake Browning-led Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I like the Steelers, I like TJ Watt, not a huge fan of Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett,
mm-mm.
But George Pickens. I think he's a pretty good receiver. He'd do better with a better quarterback, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
But I say all that to say that I think the Colts are going to win this game. They're going to get back to winning ways. I don't want them to, but.
Because we know FTC, we get it. But I'm gonna go with the Colts also in this game. That's just the thing, man. We're at a point in the season where I don't want to count out Mike Tomlin as the head coach just yet, because again, like what's said, he can convince his players to move mountains, you know. But yes. I think with it being at home for the Indianapolis Colts, I feel like the Colts have this one. So I'm gonna go with the Colts in this matchup.
All right. Chad is going to go Steelers. Braden is going to go Colts.
Okay.
And for our final Saturday game, we got the Broncos versus the Lions. This is going to be played in Detroit, with Detroit being a 4-point favorite and the over-under being at 47.5. The Broncos just beat the Chargers 24-7. However, that was a Justin Herbert-less Chargers. Now, yes. On the flip side, the Detroit Lions did just lose to the Chicago Bears.
They did. They did.
But I still have a little more faith in the Detroit Lions as opposed to the Denver Broncos. So I'm going to go with the Lions to win this one.
I'm going for the Lions to win in this one as well. Denver's been on a resurgence as of late. But Denver, again, man, you know, they started off 1-5. They had the resurgence, then they had that loss. And now I think they're in that mid-level where they're going back and forth and you don't really know what they're going to bring next. Detroit, I hope, is not falling apart mid-season. You know, like, I'm really hoping they're not doing that.
Right.
I am going to go with Detroit to win this one, but I think it's going to be closer than we think it's going to be. I think it's going to be within at least three. But I do have a Detroit winning.
All right. That's Detroit across the board. Next up, we'll start our slate of Sunday games with Browns versus Bears. The Bears are on a two-game win streak. They just beat the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions. Cleveland, however, did just beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. New quarterback under helm, Joe Flacco. He's back. Every time I see that guy, he reminds me of Keanu Reeves from The Replacements. Cleveland is a 3-point favorite with the over-under being only 38.5 here. I'm going to go with Cleveland to win this game. I think they have a better defense than the Bears, and maybe a slightly better offense with Flacco under center.
I definitely think it's a better offense. We
know he's serviceable. Look at all of his time in Baltimore when he was there. So we know he's serviceable. Let's see what they can do.
But think about it. What made Joe Flacco successful in Baltimore? What was the main key factor?
Their defense.
Exactly. What does Cleveland have right now? They have a top five defense. Joe Flacco is one of those guys where he can make the play when it counts, but at the same time, he also does make bonehead decisions. We've seen him do it in Baltimore several times.
Yes.
And of course, when he played in New York, he also had made boneheaded decisions. When he played in New York, the Jets' defense wasn't as good as they are now, but they were coming along. You know, gone were the days of Bart Scott and those guys. You know, but with him in this spot with Cleveland, it does, because they're still a playoff team, and I think they're a playoff team because of their defense. Not to say that the offense doesn't do their job and everything, and you really thought that their offense was going to struggle without Nick Chubb, and they have to some extent. However, Kareem Hunt still being, you know, a very good, strong presence in the backfield, and Joe Flacco just basically picking his spots when he can and just relying on the defense to come through for him in the end. That was the formula of how he won in Baltimore. It could be the formula as to how he wins here in Cleveland as well. Do I think Cleveland's going to make it to the Super Bowl? No. But will they win this game? Yeah, they'll beat the Bears for sure. So I'm going to go with Cleveland.
All right.
Should be Cleveland across the board on that one, shouldn't it?
It actually is not. Chad is going to go Bears here.
Oh.
And then Braden's going Browns.
Interesting.
Yes. Next up, we got the Tampa Bay Bucks versus the Green Bay Packers. This is going to be played at Lambeau Field in Green Bay. Green Bay is a 3.5-point favorite with the over-under being at 41.5. Now, Tampa Bay is on a two-game win streak. They did beat the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons. Tampa Bay is on a two-game win streak. Green Bay, however, just lost to the Giants on Monday Night Football.
Yes.
After being on a three-game win streak.
Yeah.
saying all that, I think it's hard to say, but I feel like the Packers may eke this one out just slightly. I think it's going to be a super close game. But I think the Packers win this one possibly by like 2 or 3.
The Battle of the Bays. Green versus Tampa. You know what? Something tells me, like, I just got this weird feeling in my gut Tampa Bay is going to pull off the win. I think this game could low-key be a banger, and I think that there's a whole lot of people who are amped up for it. I do think, honestly, that Tampa Bay is low-key. They are definitely playing the underdog card a lot. Not because they don't really have that good of a record. They're kind of a mid-team, but they are the number one team in their division, which, granted, it's a weak-ass division. It's the middest division in the NFL. However, I will say that I trust Tampa Bay more than I trust Atlanta or New Orleans. I think that Baker Mayfield has sparked this team in some respects over the last several weeks. I definitely think, I mean, he leading that comeback against the Atlanta Falcons this past week definitely boosted morale in the locker room, I think. When it comes to them against, see, I like Green Bay, but something tells me Green Bay is going to be just the way they lost to the Giants. I feel like it's either one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to take that loss into Tampa Bay, and it's either going to be a blessing or a curse. They're either going to say, we're not going to let this happen to us anymore, and then run Tampa Bay over, which I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
Or they're going to be so worried, like, man, we just lost to the New York Giants. And then you end up losing to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because you're not focused. That being said, though, I'm going to say this game is going to be very, very close. And I might be the only one saying this. I might be alone on this one. But I'm going to go with Tampa Bay to eke out the victory here.
All right.
We all know so Chad's going Packers, right?
Chad is going Packers. But yes. Brayden is going Bucks here.
Oh, I'm not alone in this. Okay, cool.
You are not alone in this. It's interesting.
Sorry. Don't sue me, Michael Jackson Estate. Go ahead.
It's interesting, and we'll see, you know, how everything pans out.
Yes.
Next game up on the list is the Houston Texans versus the Tennessee Titans. This is going to be in Tennessee. Now, Tennessee is a 3-point favorite with the over-under being at 37.5. As of, you know, this as of this recording, Will Levis, Aaron Brewer, Kevon Wallace, Jack Gibbons, and Kyle Phillips are all questionable for the Titans. Now, on the Texans side, we have Noah Brown, Henry Toto, Laremy Tunsil, Shaq Mason, and George Fant, who are also all questionable. I say that, you know, I said earlier, Kymie Fairbairn is coming back from IR, so that gives us, you know, a better chance at, you know, some field goals or whatnot. Right. Noah Brown was limited in practice. CJ Stroud, there's hopes that he'll play on Sunday. I don't expect him to. I think even if they deem him ready, they should hold him for another week. I don't want another Tua situation where he takes a hit and he's on the, you know, on the ground, just fucking stiff as a board, except for his hands that are, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Old school.
Yeah. So I say all that to say that I still think that the Texans can pull this out. It's a rivalry game. It's a in-division game. And I think that the Texans will pull this out. But it'll be very close.
I got the Texans winning this one. But if I'm the Texans, I'm not taking the Titans lightly. I definitely think the Titans have a very good chance here to play spoiler, in a sense, against the Texans. Do I feel like the Titans have the ability to beat the Texans? Sure, but will they? There's the big question. So, I got to go with my gut on this one. I think the Texans are going to end up pulling off the victory. It's going to be close, but I got the Texans winning.
All right. Chad is going to go with the Titans here. But Brayden is going to ride with the Texans as well. And I'm not mad at Chad for picking the Titans. Look, they just beat the Dolphins.
I know.
So it's very likely that... very likely that they could, you know, after playing as well as they did against the Dolphins, it's very likely that they could run away with this.
Oh, sure.
So we'll see. But speaking of the Dolphins, the next game we're going to talk about is the New York Jets versus
the Miami Dolphins.
Nope.
There we go. Can you see it? Can you see it?
It is the New York Jets versus the Miami Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins are ironically an 8.5-point favorite.
I can see that.
Hold on. With the over-under only being 37.5.
Okay.
I'm going Dolphins here, but
you're not confident.
So it depends on which Dolphins show up. At the same time, it depends on which Jets team shows up. So if the Jets team that just put 30 on the Texans shows up, you guys are going to have a
problem
fight yes. on your hands.
Yes.
Now, if the Dolphins that played the last 5 minutes of the Monday Nighter against the Titans show up, you guys can't win playing like that.
No, we cannot. I do think this was one of them situations. Now that I'm thinking about it off the top of my head, I think this was one of them situations where maybe Miami and Mike McDaniel, in a weird ass way, underestimated how good the Titans were. And they didn't really take them. I think what it was is once
Titans are trash.
Well, here's the thing. We say they're trash. They do have 4 wins on their resume. We say they're trash, but let's think about it for a second. If you believe your opponent is trash, chances are you're not going to give 100%. You're going to kind of put it on cruise control. When you're up by 14, you put it on cruise control. A lot of things can happen. I mean, back in the day, the Buffalo Bills in the Houston Oilers game. When the Oilers came back out of nowhere and it was like the biggest comfort behind victory up until a couple years ago when the Vikings did it to Matt Ryan and the Indianapolis Colts, you know.
Right.
Why is it about Matt Ryan? He always gives up big leads. Anyway, that's for a different discussion. Sorry, Falcons fans. not really. That being said, though, I do think that there's going to be a bounce back here. I don't see the Dolphins losing again in that fashion. At least I hope they wouldn't lose again in that fashion. I'm going to go with the Dolphins to win this game over the New York Jets. Not to say that the New York Jets are not good. Not to say the New York Jets aren't commendable. Their defense is really, really good. To see that offense against that defense, it's going to be a struggle. But we beat them earlier in the year. So,
yes.
Would we split? I don't know. Would I be upset if we split? Absolutely. However, it's going to be – I think it's going to be a daunting task whichever team shows up, because I feel like the Jets are still trying to fight to get into the playoffs, but I'll put it to you this way. If Aaron Rodgers didn't get hurt and he was still playing on the team, I would be more worried. But because it's Zach Wilson, I'm not as worried as much as I should be probably. But I'm going to go with the Dolphins on this one, and it should be Dolphins across the board.
It is Dolphins across the board, yes.
Yes. But I am a little bit nervous. I will tell you, I'm a little bit nervous based off of what I've seen Monday.
I'm nervous for the Titans game. Let's be honest.
Yes, absolutely. Go teams.
Right. So next game up is the Kansas City Chiefs versus the New England Patriots. This is going to be played in Foxborough. However, Kansas City is a 7.5-point favorite, with the over-under being 37.5.
I'm expecting rage mode from the Kansas City Chiefs.
I am too. Now the Chiefs, you know, they have lost two gruelers back-to-back. They lost 27-19 to Green Bay. Then they just lost 20-17 to Buffalo. Now, on the flip side, you got the New England Patriots, who were on a 4-game losing streak and just beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 21-18.
Mm-hmm.
With all that being said, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think they're coming to come out and just be in pissed off mode.
Yep.
And they should dominate this ball game from start to finish.
It would not surprise me if this was a Miami-Denver game all over again. It would not surprise me. And also with the recent reports that have come out and now were verified by Fox earlier this week, is that Bill Belichick will be relieved of his coaching duties at the end of the year. They've already made that public knowledge. So it will be the end of an era in New England to see which coach they're going to try to get after this legendary coach has been relieved of his duties. A lot of good candidates out there. Hopefully, you know, Eric B's still out there. If Ron Rivera doesn't step down, he's still out there, and we'll see what happens. There's other candidates out there that could possibly, you know, take that New England job. However, when it comes to this game, dude, I mean, Kansas City across the board, there's no way. Well, I take that back. I can't say there ain't no way, because any given Sunday. However, the likelihood of the Patriots beating the Chiefs is very unlikely, especially after the situation that just took place between the Chiefs and the Bills this past week. They're looking for revenge. They're looking for a rager. They're going to be all over that field, and it's going to be bad. It doesn't matter if it's Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi. It don't matter. It's going to be bad. So,
right.
You know, take it with stride, guys. I mean, everybody faces an ass whooping at one point or another, and it's going to happen to y'all this week. A bad one, actually. I don't even feel bad. I don't even feel bad. You know, I don't. You know, it's the Patriots. Why should I feel bad? I don't. Not in right. the least.
So that's Chiefs across the board there. Next game we're going to talk about is the New York Jets versus the New Orleans Saints.
You mean the New York Giants versus the New Orleans Saints?
Yeah, they're about the same, but yes.
Well, one's green, one's blue, you know.
They play in the same stadium.
Play in the same stadium, yeah.
Yeah, they play in a terrible fucking stadium.
They do play in a terrible stadium, I will say that.
So, yes, it's the Giants versus the Saints. I apologize. This is going to be played in New Orleans at the Superdome. Now, New Orleans is a 6-point favorite, with the over-under being at 39.5.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think the Giants could pull the upset here. I think Tommy DeVito's been playing his ass off, man. I think he's lit that team up, especially after the victory that they just had against Green Bay. And let's face it, what did the Saints do? You beat up on a shitty Panthers team. Whoop-de-doo. You want a cookie?
Right. So the Giants are on a 3-game win streak, beat Washington, New Orleans, or New England and Green Bay. And the Saints are coming off of a 3-game losing streak to have beat the Carolina Panthers 28-6. I say that to say that I also believe that the Giants are going to win this game.
Okay.
Tommy DeVito I know Danny Dimes just got that huge contract, but Tommy DeVito might be playing himself into a contract.
He gonna be the world's richest backup. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, because that's where I see it. Yeah, the Giants. I got this weird feeling the Giants are going to end up pulling off the win in this one. I'm taking the Giants. Yes. I'm going to take the leap and take the Giants.
Braden is also going Giants. However, Chad is going to go Saints.
Typical Chad. Yes.
Next game on the docket, we've got the Atlanta Falcons versus the Carolina Panthers. This is going to be played in Charlotte at the Bank of America Stadium. Atlanta is a 3-point favorite, with the over-under being 34.5. I've got the Falcons pegged to win this one. I have less than zero faith in the Carolina Panthers. It is a in-division game. They're going to play hard, don't get me wrong, but they're just, I don't think they can do it. I'm going Falcons here.
I'm going to go Falcons here, but as always, like, nothing surprises me anymore in the NFL. If I didn't watch any of the games on Sunday and I wake up Monday morning and they say, hey, did you know the Carolina Panthers beat the Atlanta Falcons? Now that would shock me, because the Carolina Panthers completely suck. That being said, I'm going Atlanta. I got Atlanta winning this one. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I got Atlanta winning this one. All I think that should be Atlanta across the board, right?
That is Atlanta across the board. Next game on the docket is the Washington Commanders versus the LA Rams. Now, the Rams are a 6.5-point favorite. Get this, the over-under is at 50.5.
Damn, they're expecting to score that much combined? Wow.
50.5.
That's a lot of points.
That's 26 points each.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Would
I take the over on that one? I don't know.
I don't know that I could take the over.
I'd be struggling to take the over. That's something. This game was the game that I was going back and forth with because I really don't know who I would pick to win. Now, granted, Matthew Stafford better than Sam Howell at the quarterback position, but Matthew Stafford has age on his side, but Howell has that youth on his side. I feel like LA's got the better receivers. I think Washington and LA's running games are a little bit even keel, but their defense is better. I think the defense is better. I think.
Speaking of that over under, so the last three games, the Rams have scored 37, 36, and 31.
Mm-hmm.
So
it makes sense for it to be a high over under, I think.
It could be. However, Washington has only scored in their last three games 19, 10, and 15. So
what do they do? Do they just take the highest points and then combine them to make it? I don't know.
I'm not sure how the over-under works.
Me neither.
Like how they come up with it. I know how it works. Like, you know, when you're betting, I know how to do that. Right. But how they come up with the over-under, I'm not 100% sure. But I say that to say that I think that the Rams are going to win this game.
I got the Rams winning the game too. I mean, because Cooper Kupp doing his thing. Puka Nacua has been a breath of fresh air at the wide receiver position for Matthew Stafford. It's given him a second lease on his career in some retrospects. Tutu Atwell has also been very good as a good, solid number two guy. Their defense isn't too shabby either. Their defense, now they do give up a lot of points, but they do find a way. I mean, they're bend but don't break in some respects. I do feel like they could win this game, but it wouldn't surprise me if Washington snuck out the victory, because Washington is a sneaky team also. I feel like if I don't pick Washington, I'm going to get burned, but I think it's okay. I think that's a loss I'm okay to take. You know, I do got the Rams winning against the Commanders in this one.
Right. All right, and that's Rams across the board.
Across the board.
Yes. Next game on the docket is the San Francisco 49ers versus the Arizona Cardinals. This is going to be played in Glendale, Arizona at State Farm Stadium, where San Francisco is a 12.5-point favorite with the over-under at 47.5.
Can I take the over on both? Can I do that? Can I just take the over on both? Because that's – my God, man.
I say that to say that, yes, I 100% believe that the 49ers are going to win this game, no doubt in my mind.
God, what? 49ers. I got no witty joke to make about this. It's just the Cardinals are shit. Go Niners. That's it, you know?
I said this a couple of weeks ago. 49ers look like they might be the best team in the NFL, period.
They're definitely up there. Definitely up there, absolutely. So, that should be Niners across the board, right?
That is correct. It is Niners across the board.
You sure Chad don't want to go with his buddy Kyler Murray?
He didn't say he wanted the Cardinals. So
okay.
Yeah. Next game on the docket is the Dallas Cowboys versus the Buffalo Bills.
Oh.
Now this is what's gonna be a little weird for you.
Okay.
The Buffalo Bills are a 2.5 point favorite.
At home?
With the over under it being 50.5.
That's a little high for over under for this one, but okay. man. God, you go ahead, because I'm still trying to think to myself where I want to go with this.
The Cowboys are on a 5-game win streak, having beat the Giants, the Panthers, Washington, Seattle, and Philadelphia, all in their last 5 games. The Bills are 2-3 over their last 5 games. They lost to the Bengals. They lost to the Broncos. They beat the Jets, lost to the Eagles in overtime, which, you know, could be argued that they could have beaten the Eagles.
Yes.
You know, we could argue that. And then they just beat the Kansas City Chiefs. However, I think that Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, as much as I hate to say this, and it really puts a black spot on my soul.
Yes, it does.
They're playing better than the Bills right now.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Cowboys to win this, but it will not surprise me if the Bills pull this out some way, somehow.
Some way, somehow, just wait. They will let you down.
Yes.
But it's not going to be this week. The Cowboys will let you down, but it won't be this week. I think that they'll beat the Bills. It's going to be a close one. It's going to be a tight one. People are going to sit there and think, "Oh my God, is Dallas for real?" They're going to beat them. It's going to be a close game. But as the anticipation and the excitement and the expectations grow for the Dallas Cowboys, what will happen is what always happens when it comes to the Cowboys. They're going to be playoff contenders. They're going to make the playoffs. Just when that happens, I'll come on here with a cowboy hat and everything. I'll be like, just like Stephen A. Smith, I'll be smoking a cigar in the background and everything. How about them Cowboys? But this week it's going to be the Cowboys this week. So, because the Bills are too up and down. I can't trust them. I can't trust them right now. Go ahead.
I'm right there with you. Chad and Braden are going with the Bills to win this one.
Oh, different. Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
All right. We move on to our Sunday night football game. Mm-hmm. We have the Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Baltimore Ravens. And this is going to be at Everbank Stadium in Jacksonville, where Baltimore is a 3-point favorite, with the over-under being at 42.5. I am not sure. Give me 2 seconds. I don't know if Burrow is going to play.
You mean Trevor Lawrence?
Same difference. But yes. I do mean Trevor Lawrence.
No, one's Sunshine, one's the guy from Varsity Blue. You know what I'm talking about.
Same old, in my opinion. Let's see. Where is he at on? So he is not, Trevor Lawrence is not on the injury report at all.
Okay.
So it looks like he may play. He's not even listed as questionable.
Okay, good.
They do have some people that are questionable, and Jamal Agnew was placed on, Jamal Agnew was designated to return from IR after suffering a shoulder injury.
Because they're definitely going to need a punt returner.
Christian Kirk, we know he was placed on IR.
Yep.
So yeah, Trevor Lawrence is not on the
injury report
at all.
That does change it a little bit, though.
Maybe a little bit, but I'm still going Ravens to win this one.
I'm still going Ravens to win it too. But again, this is one of them games where it's kind of like them versus Cleveland. It's kind of like Baltimore versus Cleveland. Like, you think Baltimore is going to win this game hands down, and then Cleveland comes out of nowhere and, you know, last second field goal pulls off the victory. I still got it close, but I'm going to go Baltimore to win this one.
All right. That's Ravens across the board.
Yes.
And the final game that we're going to talk about this week is the Monday Nighter, the Philadelphia Eagles, who I think have had more primetime games than any team in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
Versus the Seattle Seahawks. Now, this will be played in Seattle at Lumen Field. I just cannot get used to saying Lumen Field.
Yeah. It's the link. It's what it's always been called to me, you know.
Yeah. Where Philadelphia is a 4-point favorite, with the over-under being at 47.5. I do think that the Eagles bounce back this week and beat the Seahawks.
I do too. I think the Eagles are going to win this one. Seattle's going to play them tough. I think they will, but I mean, I'm not looking for this to be a nail-biting finish. I'm not looking for this to be, you know, a close game. You know, I think they're going to put up some points. I think they're going to do their due diligence, but I think, you know, Geno could throw a bad pass. That defense could give up yards. You know, I definitely think that the defense is going to just swallow this offense up whole. I really do. Like I said, it ain't going to be a body, but it's going to be a decisive win. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
All right. That's Eagles across the board.
Yes. Eagles across the board. What do you think? What is your opinion? What games are you most looking forward to, and what game do you think will be game of the week?
Ravens Jaguars, I think, is going to be a really good game.
Oh, yes.
Cowboys Bills, I think, is going to be a good game.
Yep.
Texans Titans, I think, is going to be a good game.
Yeah. Any rivalry game is going to be a game. Jets Dolphins, I think. Well, I don't know. It might not be a good game, but we'll see what happens. Right. Low-key, though, I think Pittsburgh-Indianapolis could possibly be a sneaky good game to watch.
I was just fixing to say, I think Steelers-Colts could be a good game.
Broncos-Lions also.
And that Bucks-Packers game. Yeah.
Anytime we have the Bay Bowl, basically, with Tampa Bay and Green Bay, for some reason, I don't know. I guess it's because, especially, it got popular more later in the past couple of years because of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, you know, that thing, you know, that little rivalry that they had. But nowadays, hell, they did it when Brett Favre was the quarterback of Green Bay, when they would play Tampa Bay, when like Sean King was the quarterback or something, or Brad Johnson or something. So, but nevertheless, yes, ladies and gentlemen, that has been Are You Ravens of Football Week 15. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to us, you know, talk shit about the Jets and the Cowboys. You know how we do it on the show. if you guys have any opinions about this, if you agree with our picks, disagree with our picks, if you rep a team, let us know what team you rep. And, you know, let us know how you're feeling, man. And we do appreciate you guys. Every single comment we get, every single like, every single subscription. Thank you guys so much for the love and support you guys have given us. Chip, anything you want to say before we get out of here tonight?
As always, please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share, and subscribe on Spotify and right here on YouTube.
Make sure you guys check us out on all of our, what are we talking about?
Oh, sorry. Social media.
I had a brain fart. All of our social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Are we still calling it Twitter? Is it X again? I'm calling it Twitter. You know what I'm talking about, the tweet thing. Also check out streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch and go copy some merch. Again, can't thank you guys enough. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys, and we'll catch you next time. I'm Talon Williams.
I'm Chip Hazard, and this is Movement Radio.
God's plan.